The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is March 24th, 2022. And as promised, my guest in the second hour, Janet Phelan. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Erla, she called me last night. We talked a little bit, and she wanted to get on, and she wanted to talk about some issues, and how soon can I get on? I said, how about tomorrow? I think I caught you off guard, didn't I?
Well, better soon than later.
There you go. All right, well, let's break into what's going on in your life. You've escaped the United States. You've been tracked down. You've been threatened, and found that your best action was to be on the move and leave the country. I understand that. There is a war on the whistleblower, and I consider you to be in that category of a whistleblower, a fine journalist. Many people are in your same situation here, so let's break it down where we are at this point. What has happened to you, and what do you hope to get out tonight in your presentation?
Yes, I really thank you for putting me on. I'm generally rather reluctant to talk about my personal situation, but circumstances have sort of necessitated that I do. We basically know the world through our own experiences and the experiences of others. So when Julian Assange is betrayed by the government of Ecuador and subsequently charged by the U.S. With multiple felonies, we know it's a dangerous world for journalists. When a U.S.-born journalist, Abdul Bilal Karim, goes to federal court in the U.S., stating that the U.S. is trying to kill him in the Middle East through drone strikes, and I don't know how much coverage this has actually gotten, but his lawsuit was dismissed in federal court because the DOJ came waltzing in and said national security. Mm-hmm. So we kind of begin to understand that our rights, our constitutional rights, and fundamentally our rights to exist are being trumped by the security state. Mm-hmm. So when Edward Snowden also flees the U.S., due to attempts to imprison him for revealing inconvenient truths about the surveillance state, we understand that it's not only journalists who are under the gun here, but anyone revealing information that might be contrary to protecting those who are abusing people. I also want to mention that ordinary citizens who do not constitute either journalists or whistleblowers are now being jailed for attempting to protect other people, specifically Barbara Stone, who was attempting to protect her mother from the atrocities that were going on in the guardianship case. Now there's a former sheriff named Stuart Handy, who is now in jail seemingly without any constitutional rights because he's not being arraigned. And he was also attempting to protect the rights of someone under an adult guardianship. We also now have lawyers who are being disbarred, suspended, ushered out of the courtroom permanently for attempting to protect the civil rights of individuals. And those include former Congressman Don Bailey. They include attorney Ken Ditkowski of Cook County, Illinois, and numerous others. So what I'm hoping to accomplish through this broadcast is basically twofold. I'm attempting to expand the understanding of what can happen to someone who strays outside the ever constricted lines of what is acceptable to say and do. And also I'm attempting to possibly back off some of the protocols I'm under by exposing them. Those people listening to the show might recognize my name. I had an RBN show at one point myself. I've been a repeated guest on other shows. They might know that I'm a journalist who's now writing for mostly for Activist Post, and that I also recently published a rather controversial book on the pandemic. It was published by Trine Day and has been getting some attention, which I'm very glad for, because the book essentially is covering some material that simply isn't being covered elsewhere concerning the U.S.'s biological weapons agenda. But what you may not know or really understand is that I am in exile, and what does it mean to be in exile? Because obviously the U.S. doesn't have exile laws. They do not exile citizens. What they do is they attack. And the previously mentioned individuals, Edward Snowden, Kareem, Ken Ditkowski, Don Bailey, others, have certainly been attacked as well, and have been attacked for executing their constitutional rights, and specifically for extending their concerns to others and for trying to protect others. And this appears to be sort of fundamental to the problem, because people who are only concerned about their own well-being, who will basically hide under the desk rather than help someone else out, generally, I think, are doing a little better than those who stand up and say, the emperor has no clothes, and the emperor is actually rather dangerous now. So I'm going to take a break for a second, take a drink of tea here. Sure. If there's anything you want to
say. Yeah, I want to ask you a question about, I didn't even know this existed until I think this last year, that I was watching C-SPAN. I really don't necessarily watch C-SPAN that all that often, but I did realize that they actually have a National Whistleblowers Day. I don't know if you know that, National Whistleblowers Day. And I'm wondering how much of the National Whistleblowers Act can you rely on right now to bring truth out there and stop the harassment?
Well, my understanding of the Whistleblowers Act, I read some discussion of that some years ago, and apparently there's some admission it doesn't really protect whistleblowers. I mean, this is kind of obvious, isn't it? I mean, look at Edward Snowden, look at others. It doesn't really protect. The Patriot Act seems to trump the whistleblowers.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, the war on terrorism kind of nullified all that. They could have a license to do whatever they want to just because of the Terrorism Act. You're right, exactly. That's sad. It's funny that they still celebrate it, though. I mean, C-SPAN. National Whistleblower, and they'll hand pick, a cherry pick a couple of cases here that somebody came out and, you know, gave some information that we should all know about. But then it comes down to situations like yourselves or or Julian Assange, that doesn't apply to him. And actually, what laws did he break? He didn't break any laws. There's no espionage here. Nobody's life was in jeopardy. He simply outed a video that was given to him. He didn't steal it. He didn't hack it. He outed a video that showed Reuters journalists getting slaughtered by air guns, you know, in the air here.
Right.
There's no crime. He exposed them. He shamed them. That was his crime. He shamed the United States government. Therefore, we're coming after you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And the methods by which they're coming after people the U.S. tends to use its legal system to shut down individuals. Actually, there was a statement made by former Attorney General Holder concerning that preference is to use the legal system to, I think the term he used was to disable individuals. So in the cases that I've mentioned, there certainly have been efforts to disable Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, et cetera, Attorney Ken Dukowski, by taking away his license to practice law, and others through the legal system. And before I left the U.S., I certainly began to experience what we're calling lawfare, which is the use of the legal system to weaponize it against individuals. Since I hadn't committed any crimes, there were several attempts to make it appear that I had. I found drugs planted in my home, and I found them about 10 minutes before the police showed up banging on the door. That was a rather shocking situation for me. Luckily for me, I acted appropriately. I had come home. I'd been away for a couple of days. I came home, and passing by the front house, I was living in a back house in Long Beach, California. I heard the landlady say, "Oh, she's here. Quick, call the police." And I thought, what? So I walk into my little house, and it's been tossed. Now, most people who come home and their house has been tossed, they call the police, right? But I'm thinking the police are already coming, so what's going on? And I began to look around really carefully, and lo and behold, there were all these pink pills all over my floor. I have no idea what they were. Mm. But it was pretty clear to me what was going to happen. So I drew the curtains, and I locked and shut the door, and I began scooping and flushing as fast as I could. Yeah. And the knock came 7 or 8 or 9 minutes later, and I simply, I pressed myself against the wall and hoped they couldn't see me, and they couldn't, and they went away. And so there was that this situation. What was happening in my life at that point in time to prompt that situation is discussed rather fully in my 2014 book Exile. I had some delusions about what would happen when I published Exile. I thought that it made such a clear statement and with so much buttressing documentation that I was being attacked for what they had done, for my knowledge of what they had done, that they would completely back off. That was my delusion. And what happened is after Exile was published, the situation became much worse. Mm-hmm. So essentially, there was an attack on a family member that is discussed in Exile. And my attempts to protect her, and she did end up being murdered. That is the focus of Exile. So people ask me all the time, well, what were you reporting on? I mean, well, what happened? Well, I wasn't reporting on anything. I wasn't actually working I was trained as a reporter. I had worked as a reporter, but during the circumstances discussed in my 2014 book, I wasn't working as a reporter and I wasn't writing anything explosive or revelatory. I was simply able to, but at that point in time, I was solely trying to protect someone else.
So you were you were harassed and pursued because of your contacts with somebody else.
A family member who I was whose life I was trying to protect, which, and that was the book, I think, makes it pretty clear. And because some people are still doubting that these things can happen in America, there's an appendix of about 50 pages of external documentation in the book, including police records, court records, things like that. So there really can't be any doubt that this level of persecution was going on. So what ended up happening surrounding this attack on the family member is there were several attempts to create a perception that I'd broken the law, like drugs planted in the house, and there were some other things as well. And they didn't work. I was able to kind of maneuver my way out of these. And then on January 3rd of 2002, I was physically assaulted by the police and I was hospitalized in a coma. But I woke up. So I seem to have some sort of remarkable luck, and I'm using that word, I'm putting it in parentheses, at surviving things. So from that point on, I decided that I really needed to revisit my journalistic training and start to write about and to help other people understand the crisis we're facing in America now. Because if entirely innocent people like Barbara Stone, who did prison time for trying to protect her mother from she took her mother out of the nursing home where the guardian had forcibly placed her, and she took her to lunch. And that was Barbara Stone's crime against humanity, was taking her mother to lunch. And Stuart Handy, former sheriff, who is now being persecuted in Washoe County, he also attempted to free someone from an abusive situation in terms of a forced placement in a facility. So I'm thinking that it really is time for me to kind of revisit some of this, because having fled the country, I have unfortunately found that the other countries, the host country that I'm in, is more than willing to pursue the exact same protocols that I was facing in the United States.
Right. Same situation. I got it. Yeah. So what's your plan to get back to the States to actually, you know, out this and actually, you know, meet your accuser face to face here and put an end to this? What's your avenue to come back to the United States? Is that what you want to do? I assume that's what you want to do, correct?
Well, location is no. At this point, after I left the U.S., there were multiple attempts by the U.S. authorities, which are not only discussed but also documented in my book, to create more lawfare instruments against me. For example, I received a phone call from someone named Melody Scott, who was actually very involved in Emily Phelan's murder. And in that phone call, which she left on voicemail, I have recorded, she threatened to kill me.
Janet, hold that thought for a second. We've got a short commercial break. We'll come right back to you. Janet Phelan, my guest in this hour. Stay tuned.
Do Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
And we are back. My special guest today in the second hour is Janet Phelan. We're talking about her ordeal, what she's going through right now. And go ahead and finish up there before we went to the break there, Janet. Go ahead and finish up.
Right. I received a voicemail, recorded voicemail, mm-hmm. from Melody Scott, who is in Redlands, California. And in the voicemail, which was recorded on my phone, she threatened to kill me. And I believe I played this voicemail because I still have it on the air on a number of different shows. And I turned it over to the local authorities, which would have been San Bernardino County Police and DA. And they issued a warrant for my arrest. What happened?
Let me back up here. They issued a warrant for your arrest.
Yes.
For somebody who threatened your life.
Right. So what Melody Scott did was had I believe her daughter went into the DA's office and made an outrageous, undocumented, unbuttressed by any evidence, allegation that Melody was simply scared because I had called her and threatened her. and it never happened. It never happened. And so based on that, the police chose to overlook the evidence I presented and to go on the testimony of the daughter of actually someone who I consider a serial killer, given certain things that she has accomplished in the past, which I've written about, none of which I've been sued for libel under. So this was the sort of problem I was facing. There were also at least two other warrants issued. Both of them are discussed and documented in my book, Exile, and both of them have about as much merit as the Melody Scott situation. So as a police assault survivor, I don't feel really comfortable coming back to the States and turning myself in. I think I'd probably be Epstein. And for those who, okay, first of all, I have to say I'm a little bit bewildered by the relentlessness of the situation. Emily Phelan is dead. I mean, those who wished her harm accomplished their mission. I escaped the net that they had rather carelessly laid for me, and I'm outside of the country, and I am surviving as best I can. Right. And I continue to write. I'm very, very thrilled that my book on the pandemic is out, because there's information in there that, as I said, that you simply can't get any other place, and that if you don't have that information, you can just blunder into a situation where you too will be a pandemic casualty without ever having had the pandemic. So there's a lot of information in that book that I think is very important, and I'm very grateful to Tri-Dave for publishing it. So I'm almost on the outside here looking in, trying to figure out why these people won't leave me alone. And all I can say is that I pissed someone off, yeah. and they're doing what they can to make my life as difficult as possible. And I also want to mention that they graduated from lawfare to, you know, trying to create false situations to arrest me, that, and they're now using unconventional weapons, and I'm being attacked on a daily basis now. Right. And, you know, frankly, there are allegedly human rights and journalist protection agencies that are in place to try to do something about these sorts of issues. I haven't seen them be too successful with Julian Assange. The Abdul Bilal Karim was able to get some attorneys to front his lawsuit in federal court, but that's now apparently a dead issue. So it doesn't appear to me that these journalist protection agencies, organizations, are terribly successful. And in fact, when you look at them closely, Committee to Protect Journalists, International Federation of Journalists, Frontline Defenders, you'll find that most of their time and effort is being expended towards journalists who are in, shall we say, countries that the U.S. doesn't like. They seem to want to protect the right Iranian journalists and Russian journalists, but not American.
All right, I've got some questions for you when we come back. I think you and I need to speak off air, too. I don't want to say what I want to say, so I'll definitely speak off air to you about that. But stay tuned. We got more with Janet Phelan when we come back after a short commercial break. Stay tuned. You got to come through us
and take it one shot at a time.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Very, very happy. Now I know that's not what you'd expect from me at all. I'm not the kind to smile and bow out gracefully. I always wanted to take it to the wall.
And we are back. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and my guest this hour here is Janet Phelan. We're trying to decipher what our next step is going to be here, I guess, for Janet. But we have some great listeners, Janet. We actually have a lot of legal people listen to this network. And I'm going to open the phone lines up. And if anybody out there in the legal realm there has any idea, any suggestions of what Janet can do, take the steps to stop the harassment, I'd love to hear from you tonight. That's 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. Legal Minds. I wish I had Ron McDonald here tonight. I don't. I definitely will talk to him a little later and kind of see if I can get some advice from him, maybe what to for you to do. So anybody have any ideas, welcome the phone calls, 512-248-8252. Janet, you must have heard, I don't know if you heard the clip I played in the first hour from Laura Logan, who's been ghosted by CNN, not CNN, but Fox. she's solid. I didn't know how solid this really this woman really was as a reporter. My God, she dropped a major bomb a couple of days ago on America's Voice, which is the network I actually watch more than anything else. A truth bomb about Ukraine and Russia, what's really going on. I talked about the day before, the week before, called The Spark That Starts the Fire. This woman dropped some serious truth bombs here about what's really going on. The media, mainstream media, is not telling you the truth. And she's telling you the truth, and she's got good sources, and I believe her. I totally believe this woman. She is under fire now, looking at being canceled. I don't know anybody in the mainstream media that's going to pick her up other than possibly America's Voice, who had her on for an interview. They seem to back off a little bit on the interview on her, just a little bit, because I think they know who writes their checks also. But I'm hoping that she can find a place to land over on there on that network itself. So I understand your dilemmas here of coming out with information that somebody says, hey, we don't want you to say that. You can't say that. And then what do you do? You put it in a book form and put it out there, and now you've got some feathers ruffled now. I understand that. I've not been in that situation. My ruffled feathers comes from what I say here on air. And I've got people that don't like me, and threatening letters and threatening emails and phone calls and trolls, whatever. I have my scenario here. But so right now, what's your best guess right now, your best guesstimate of what road should you take now? What do you think? What do you want to do? What do you think you should do right now? What's your next move? Can you say?
Yeah, I feel that I'm sort of really backed up against the wall right now. I've appealed to the International Federation of Journalists, who have done the most remarkable and actually unpleasant and a job of blocking my requests for what would be, I think, the best case scenario. I'm in Latin America, and I attempted to make a report to a federal agency in the country I'm in when I was actually I was picked off a bus by federal Latin American agents, hauled off the bus in the middle of the night, threatened with arrest because I had vitamins on me, and then they realized that wasn't arrestable, and they attempted to arrest me for having too much money on me. It was a rather frightening situation. They held up the bus for a couple of hours. Everyone on the bus, they had their faces just pressed to the window. They couldn't believe what was going on. And so I had a lot of witnesses. So I made a complaint of harassment to the Federal Human Rights Agency here. And the Federal Human Rights Agency initiated deportation protocols against me. And with all these bizarre warrants now against me in the U.S., I really can't afford to be deported. So the only real suggestion that the International Federation of Journalists had was for me, without their help, without using them as a buffer whatsoever, was to appeal to another federal agency. And when I pointed out that this would probably also result in deportation protocols, they became...
Jen, you're kind of fading in and out right now. I don't know where you are.
Okay. Is this any better?
That's better.
Yeah. So the country I'm in attempts to deport me for making documented and buttressed complaints, and the International Federation of Journalists thinks that's the only way to go. Now, actually, there are other options available, which would be for the International Federation of Journalists, of which I am a member, to file a complaint with the Attorney General on my behalf. They won't do it. And so there has been a lot of emails back and forth. This has been going on over a year, and they simply won't do anything that might actually result in a positive result. They want to solely steer me towards a quote unquote resolution that will result in my being deported. So right. This is the sort of problems. I also have appealed to the Committee to Protect Journalists, Frontline Defenders, Reporters Without Borders. And Reporters Without Borders, actually, I was in touch with their French office, and they said that there's nothing that can be done. Really, there's nothing that can be done. You've got someone who has been, you know, who seems to be like the pinata of certain covert governmental agendas, and there's nothing that can be done. You can't expose it. You can't go to court. There's nothing that can be done, and then they hang up on you. So, you know, I don't really know, Steve. The fact that I'm being hit with these unconventional weapons now, and I'm not talking about these invisible microwave or directed energy weapons. What I'm dealing with is quite a bit more. It's plummeted me into a health crisis. And so, you know, I really don't know.
Michael just sent over to me the name Carl Kallstrom. And Michael, if you we're on the same link, she and I is on the same Skype. Send that to her. A couple different names there for you to.
You mean Eric Carl? He means Eric Kallstrom, doesn't he?
Yeah, Eric Kallstrom, and of course Andy Hitchcock. Hitchcock on Rents. Yeah.
But both of these people, both Eric Kallstrom and Jeff Renz, whose show I've done, who attempted to attack me on air, they're both hardcore, shall we say, they don't like Jews. Okay, they don't like Jews. I'm Jewish. And I've gotten emails from Eric Kallstrom in which he goes on and on about Jews this, Jews that, Jews are all the problem. I'm sorry, I'm Jewish, I'm not the problem.
Right.
And furthermore, a lot of what I'm stating, particularly in this most recent book, is that there really is a covert eugenics impetus that is going to, is already and will continue to affect minority populations. That includes indigenous people, people of color, and Jews. And, you know, people love to hate the Jews again, and frankly, these people aren't going to work for me.
I understand. Yeah, so. I understand. Yeah. So if the worst scenario is they deport you, where would they deport you to?
Well, only to the U.S.
And there you worried that you wouldn't get a fair shake in the courts, correct?
Well, I'm worried. Last time I was in police custody, which was on January 3rd of 2003, I ended up in a coma in a hospital. I have records. Mm-hmm. There I was. I mean, I can't believe. I also filed a lawsuit. After that, I did file a lawsuit. I had a lot of help. Even though I did file it per se, I had a lot of help from a law student in constructing the lawsuit. The lawsuit was dismissed at an unnoticed hearing. So it was dismissed because I didn't show up at a hearing I wasn't told was happening. That's a matter of record. So what fair shake? What fair shake? You know, I at this point, I'm at a loss, Steve. So the human rights agencies that are pledged to protect whistleblowers and journalists aren't terribly interested in American whistleblowers and journalists. They're more interested in you if you're Chinese or Russian or Iranian or something.
Interesting.
And so, you know, I'm at this point, the best I can do is try to use the situation that has impacted me particularly to help to clarify for others the nature of the increasing fascist situation that we find ourselves in, you know, in Germany in the 30s, and also in the Soviet Union under Stalin, people who protested against abusive policies by the state, protested maybe that family members had been disappeared, as had mine, ended up in quite a bit of trouble. And generally speaking, we are now drifting warp speed towards the same sort of situation. And the best I think I can do is use the lens of my own experience to try to help others understand, because if we don't stand up and if we let these sorts of abuses, you know, I've mentioned others during this broadcast, I'm certainly not the only one. If we let these abuses continue on, we're not going to have anything left to protect.
I agree. I had a question here from one of our listeners who was a host here a while back, Layla in Canada. And this is off air. She said, why don't you go to Israel for protection?
Oh, Israel. I've been to Israel. It was also discussed in the book Exile. I do not believe that the government of Israel is particularly concerned right now with the protection and maintenance of its people. I think we're seeing that this describes pretty succinctly the situation in the U.S. And I think it describes also the situation in most of the first world affiliated countries. There is there is collusion between governments to move the situation towards a centralized government where certain people will be allowed to function and certain people won't. And I do not believe for one minute that the state of Israel has any intention towards protecting Jews, Palestinians, anyone except their agenda for moving their situation into this centralized cabal. Right. And I think that what we've seen happening in Israel with the, you know, we got to get the four shots now.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I mean, Israel has turned into a fascist monstrosity. In fact, we have a lot of what we're calling COVID refugees showing up in the city I'm in now, fleeing restrictions and abuses in other countries, and a lot of them are Israelis.
You know, I saw that also the same situation. I've always thought, you know, Israel and the chosen people, of course, that's one of the tags, the handles I carry around, the chosen people. And then I saw them pushing this shot, this poison clot shot on them, and I saw the adverse events that are popping up, and all these people dying. Of course, we're not allowed to talk about that, and they don't even have their own VAERS. They stopped reporting all this stuff because they figured it would leak out to the United States, and we'd all know the truth. But they're targeting their own citizenry, which is amazing that they're targeting their own people, the chosen people. I just couldn't believe what was happening here. I mean, the numbers must be astronomical of the death from these COVID shots. By the way, we have a phone call on coming from Vancouver, and that's James from Vancouver. Welcome on. You're with Janet Phelan.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry to hear about what's happening to your guest. I wondered if she's familiar with the work of Mae Brussel.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, great. I have a great deal of respect for Mae Brussel and the work she did.
Absolutely.
And so I just wanted to ask that question because this is a an example of, this is going back to the 60s and the kind of difficulties and secret war, I guess you could say, started because of what the deep state was doing. And So I just wanted to ask you that, and I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome.
Let me get some information here in the chat room here, my chat from the board up there, Michael. After the show's over, there's somebody, we'll give you a telephone number. You may want to talk to them. Maybe they can help you. I won't give it on air, but I will give it to you after the show. Okay, Janet?
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
You know, I have been able in my time on Earth to do some work that I think is valuable. I have sort of clarified it for a lot of court victims and publicly in articles, how judges are, how exactly judges are being paid off to throw cases. This is valuable.
Yeah, you told me about that. Right, right.
Yeah. And I also think that my work on biological warfare, particularly delineating two previously undiscussed delivery systems, which appear to be, again, in much of the first world, I also think this is valuable. This may be able to save people's lives. This is what I'm trying to do with my work.
Good.
So I'm very glad I got, you know, some certain kinds of projects disclosed and discussed publicly.
Another call coming in from California. Samuel, you're on with Janet Phelan.
Oh, hi, Janet. Are you a citizen of the United States?
Of course I am, yeah. I was born in the United States.
Okay. What I would recommend is on RBN on Sundays at 3 o'clock, there's a gentleman on by the name of Roger Sales. And if you listen to that program, you're going to find out that there's two different citizenships, main ones in this country, and one's a national and one's a citizen. And you would have much more protection by being a national, and you might want to listen to the show and call in and ask him some questions.
Thank you. Thank you for that information.
Yeah. Roger Sales. Yep.
Thank you.
New host on the network. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, if Ralph Winterroad was here, he'd probably give us some good advice. I wish he was. God bless his soul.
Yeah. I miss Ralph. Good man.
Yeah, he was quite amazing guy. Quite amazing guy. I'll definitely throw this by also, Janet, I'll throw this by Ron McDonald here and see what he thinks legally wise, what you should do, and maybe another organization out there that would protect your rights and somebody else to go to. I'll throw it by him.
Yeah, that would be helpful, because as I am, I'm kind of hamstrung. If reports are being used to deport me, then I can't make reports. And if I ask a journalist protection agency to make the report for me, which they can do, and they refuse, then as did Jeremy Deer with the International Federation of Journalists, then again, I'm hamstrung. So the best I think I can do really is to try to keep, you know, focusing on the kinds of abuses that are becoming endemic to the system and what this means in terms of the future of America. This is the decision I made initially, and this is apparently the best I can do. So
the attacks came more after the book, Janet?
Oh, well, after the 2014 book, my life was turned upside down here, absolutely upside down. The 2014 book appeared to have pissed off the pig, as they say.
Yeah. Got it, got it.
Yeah.
Samuel, do you have a final question real quick here? Because I have one more caller on the line here. Do you have another final question?
I had another suggestion for her. You know, Jennifer Daniels used to also be a host on this, on RBN, and she had to leave the States, and she's in Panama.
Right.
She's been down there for, I think, around 8 years now. So you might contact her and see if she has some suggestions for you just to help you down there somewhere.
That's a great idea.
Great idea. Thank you.
That's a great idea. You're right. She fled the same system that was attacking her for natural medicine. So, yeah, that's a great, great idea, Samuel. Glad you brought that to the attention.
You know, it's very important. It's very important because a lot.
We have another caller from Massachusetts, Brenda in Massachusetts. You'll probably be my last caller. You're on with Janet Phelan.
Hi.
Yes, you're on.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, Janet, if you ever tried to contact Niels Meltzer?
Yes, I've contacted Niels Meltzer.
Okay, and he wasn't able
They're not doing anything. Specifically concerning individuals who are being attacked with unconventional weapons. They simply aren't. He did produce a report a couple years ago, on cyber torture, which got a lot of people very interested and hopeful that he would continue to address unconventional weapons attacks, but he hasn't. So, yeah. And I've actually written some of his reports as well. He's done apparently the best he can in trying to bring some of these abuses to light, but he hasn't really focused in too much on individual reports.
Sure, it has to be a unified approach. Okay, well, thank you
for the call, Brenda.
Thank you very much. I'd wanted to mention something before you took the call, because you were talking about Jennifer, Dr. Daniels, and
yes,
and her fleeing the country. And right. And as we know, there have been very suspicious deaths among holistic doctors and also scientists who have been researching and reporting on biological weapons issues. There have been well over 100 such deaths of scientists, and even though I am a mere journalist, some of my work on exposing separate delivery systems, in particularly the dual line water system, could put me into more or less the same category. So, yeah. So people who want to protect other people, you know, people who want to help them legally, medically, informationally, we appear to be having these kinds of problems.
Well, we understand your flight here. My email address, offthebeatenpathsteve@gmail.com. Anybody has any ideas that could help Janet Phelan, please email me. And again, I'm going to research this with my legal resource, Mr. Ron McDonald, and see if we can come up with something. Somebody who can.
I really appreciate that, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he's
thank
a good guy. He's
everybody
one of my best
in.
Friends here, and we'll definitely research this. And like I said, my email is always open. There's our music that completes our show this evening. Back on Sunday for my show, Off the Beaten Path, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Janet Phelan, for being here. You're welcome back anytime. Thank you for listening. The audience, health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Take all our money and send it abroad. Take America back. We must take America back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.